We'll read just verses 11 and 12. This will give us the connection of the message of last week. And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the day of thine husband, since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." You will remember we spoke last week about having a lovely, beautiful testimony that speaks well for the Lord. Letting our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. To have the shining face that the Bible speaks about. For we are living epistles read of men. Ruth certainly had all this. She had an outstanding testimony. And Boaz was watching on, and he heard about her, as we read there in verse 11, where he says, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done." And as Boaz takes notice of her, and he pronounces his favor and blessing upon her, he makes this declaration in verse 12 that has become our text for last week and today. "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou wert come to trust." There was a reward for Ruth, for the life that she lived, for the works that she performed, for the witness that she made, just as there is a reward for every child of God now present in this life. We have a heavenly Boaz who's watching on Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. He sees us from day to day. These words of our text ought to be written over every Christian here. "The Lord recompense thy work, a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel." And I wonder, are you laboring for the well done of God? Last week we took up the first two of our points. We spoke about the service that brings a reward. We emphasize the fact that there is a work for you to do. God has called us to this work. It is thy work, as we have it here in the text. We spoke about the work in the field of service and the work in the family more particularly. There is a work for Jesus none but you can do. We said how that not every Christian is called to be a great evangelist like Billy Sunday. Not every Christian is called to be a great missionary to go to the furthest parts of the earth, like some of the missionaries we mentioned last Lord's Day. And not every Christian is called to be a great minister of the gospel, like C.H. Spurgeon. But you can be faithful just where you are. A faithful Sabbath school teacher. A faithful children's worker. A faithful door-to-door evangelist. A faithful elder or deacon. A faithful mother in your home. A faithful witness in your workplace or in your school. A faithful neighbor to those who live beside you who are strangers to grace and to God. You can serve God in a prayer ministry. You can serve God as a quiet witness before others. You can serve God doing manual work, whether that's work in the local church or further afield, as some of you have gone to serve the Lord and on the mission field for a time. You can serve God giving with simplicity to his work, or in the visiting of the sick, the sorrowing and the suffering. This is thy work. It's the work God has called you to. We notice secondly the sureness of the reward. There is a reward for the faithful servant. Boaz says, "The Lord recompense thy work." Ruth, "The Lord look upon your labor of love and reward you accordingly." And what a blessing it is for us to know that our service is not in vain. We never do anything for the Lord that's in vain. The Lord is no man's debtor. Our labor, the scripture says, is not in vain. And there are blessings now on earth and ultimately in eternity. What rewards there are now as we serve our blessed Savior in His work. To see the increase, to see the extension of His kingdom, to see souls added to the church, such as should be saved. And of course, we cannot begin to express the joy that is felt in our hearts when a lost soul is brought to Christ. That's a reward in itself. But the greater reward is still to be on the great day when we come to stand before Him whom our soul loveth. Jesus says, "Thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." And dear Christian, the Lord has given to you talents and ability. He's given to you a work to do, and we're to occupy until He comes. And then on that great day when we come to stand in His presence, we shall give an account of our stewardship, what we have done for Him, and the Lord will give us that sure reward on the great day. But I want to bring you thirdly to the superabundance of the reward. There is what Boaz calls here a full reward for all that has been done. He says, "A full reward be given thee." You know, some will receive no reward. I want you to turn to a very interesting passage in the New Testament just for a moment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want to read verse 11 through to verse 15. This passage that speaks about the foundation of our faith and how that we're building upon that foundation as those who are the redeemed of God. Paul says here in verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." In other words, there's no other way of salvation. There's no other foundation that you can build your eternal hopes upon than the foundation that has been laid already, and that is Christ. He is that impregnable rock of our salvation. And the first and the foremost thing is to make sure that you're on the rock, is to make sure that you're on this foundation, that you're found in Christ, that you're saved by grace. And once you have established that firmly in your mind, then know this: you are building for eternity. And you're building upon the foundation that has already been laid. And this is what he goes on to speak about in verse 12 to 15. "Now if any man build upon this foundation..." And this is speaking about every Christian. The opening verses of the chapter deals with preachers in particular. And Paul talks about Apollos, and he talks about others there that men were looking to in the church, the leaders of the church. But this is speaking about every Christian now. "Any man," he says, "if any man build on this foundation..." And then he specifies what we're building with and uses the following as a picture: gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day," that's the great day we're speaking about, the day of judgment, "shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." God's going to apply the fire test to the building that we are erecting on the foundation. We're all building for eternity. We're all building with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, these materials. And one day the fire's going to be applied. Gold, silver, and precious stones will flash and gleam all the brighter on that day, but wood, hay, and stubble is going to be burned up. Verse 14 says, "If any man's work shall abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And this is suggesting to me that as we're building, as we're seeking to erect whatever it is in this life for God, for eternity, as we build with the gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, that there's coming a day when the work is going to be tried. And if you've built with nothing but the wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to be burned up. Now, you will be saved because you're on the foundation. You're on Christ. That can't be taken away from you. But your works will be built up. The building that you have erected will be burnt up, because it wasn't really all for the glory of God. But you yourself will be saved. So some will receive no reward. Some will receive a partial reward. Some will receive a full reward. And what a blessed day that's going to be. What kind of reward are you laboring for? That's a good question to ask. Will you get to heaven, as it were, by the skin of your teeth? Your wood, hay, and stubble that you've been building with will be burned up. Will you receive a partial reward? Or are you laboring for the full reward? And on that day, that's what you will receive. May God make us faithful Christians. May He make us to flourish in His work. May He give us that fervency of heart, so that a full reward will be given to us when we come to stand in His holy presence. You know, dear Christian, nothing is going to be overlooked by our Lord and our Savior on the day of recompense. A full reward shall be given thee. No matter how small the task, no matter how insignificant the work, no matter how menial that labor has been, you who have been involved in the children's work, whatever department of church life that has been, you that have been involved in the business of evangelism, whether it's been out in the open air, on the doorstep, or in your personal witness for the Lord, you who have been involved in the ministry of prayer, and what a ministry that is, as God gives to some of His saints, the ministry of seeking Him and praying and shutting yourself in alone with God, and your Father that seeth in secret rewards you openly. And you that have been involved in labor behind the scenes, wasn't in the public eye, wasn't seen by man, but it was seen by God. And you who have been involved in the visiting of the sick, whatever that service has been, you will receive a full reward. I'm looking forward to the great day. I know on that day I shall hang my head in shame as I think over the many follies and faults and foolish ways. I know that on that great day, as the hymn says, I wish I had given Him more. By and by, when I look in His face, I'll wish I had given Him more. I know also that I will be taken up with His glory and His majesty on that great day. But I'm looking forward to it nonetheless. Not so much to get the reward, but to learn many things about our ministry here on earth that we didn't know. Will there be any stars in your crown? When at evening the sun goeth down, thank God for souls that we've sat with and pointed to the Savior. Thank God for those who will meet us at the right hand of the Father. Because we have the joy and the privilege of pointing them to Christ in this life. Thank God for others that we were in some small way instrumental in pointing to the cross, just being part, as it were, of the jigsaw, having our little part to play, helping others unto Christ. But only eternity will reveal the full extent of our witness and our ministry. We're having an effect upon others here on earth that we know nothing about in this world. It's only in the world to come these things are going to be revealed. We think of souls in this house who have quietly and silently come to trust the Savior. We didn't know about it, but we'll know then. We think of souls in other places that have been converted to the Lord through the work we've done. We think of the internet. And I try to look up sermon audio every day as I remember to do that. And it's always interesting to know that every passing hour somebody's listening in somewhere around the world. The Word of God is being listened to. Not only those messages that we preach to Christians, to God's people, to build them up and edify them in the faith, but many of our gospel addresses are listened to And it's my prayer that as the gospel goes out over the internet, that souls will be saved. We have also had the opportunity on the radio through Let the Bible Speak to preach the word. Remember last year when we did the broadcast on Radio Ulster, and we were told about 70,000 people listened in. Only eternity is going to reveal the work that each one of us have done for our Lord and our Savior. The judgment day will be a day of revelation. You and I will receive a reward, a full reward for the work that we've done, for the known work that we've seen accomplished, and the unknown work that only will be revealed on that day. There is a reward for fruitfulness, and God desires his people to be fruitful. Remember, Jesus says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. God wants us to be fruitful Christians, and there is a reward for fruitfulness. But more especially, there is a reward for faithfulness. Even when our ministry hasn't always been fruitful, and it's not always fruitful, there is a reward, more importantly, for the faithful work, the faithful witness that we are, faithful in our preaching, faithful in our presentation of divine truth, faithful in prayer, faithful in our pure living before our fellow man. It's well done, thou good and not fruitful, but faithful servant. When we stand before God on that day, God help us to live in the light of the judgment, to live with eternity's values in view. There's coming a day of graduation when the Lord will sit upon his throne and the full reward will be given. We were at a graduation service last Wednesday night as a number of our students graduated from the Whitfield College of the Bible, and they received their certificates for the work that they'd done. On a great day, there's going to be another graduation service when we receive the full reward. The Bible speaks about a crown of glory, a crown of righteousness, a crown of life, and a crown that is incorruptible. But more especially, there is that soul winner's crown. Will there be any stars in that crown? The superabundance of the reward. Notice, fourthly, the source of the reward. The reward is from the Lord himself. Boaz says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, the Lord of great omnipotence. He is the all-powerful God, the Lord of great omnipresence. He is the God who is all-present with his people. And the God, or the Lord of the great omniscience, he's all-knowing. He knows all about us. He has seen all we've done. Nothing, however insignificant or small, will go unheeded. You know, we're not out for the recognition of man. It is always nice when we do something for another to receive a word of thank you. It's nice to be appreciated. I think we all feel that way. But we're not out for the recognition of man. And when someone does something for us, it's good manner just to say thank you to them too, and to appreciate what others do. But it is the Lord himself who's giving this reward on that day. He who is all-knowing, who has taken note of all that we have done, things that men never recognize, things that we have even forgotten about, things that seem small and unimportant. Note again what we read in verse 11 of the scripture in Ruth 2. Boaz says, it hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done. What a marvelous thought. The eye of our Boaz has been upon our work, all that we have sought to do. It's not the eye of the church that we need to concern ourselves about principally, not the eye of the preacher, not the eye of the elders, not the eye of other Christians, though those things should concern us because we're taught to live right before our fellow man, and we ought to live right in the eye of the church. It's not even the eye of the ungodly that is our chief concern. And we've got to be a good testimony before the unconverted. No, my friends, it's the eye of God. He sees all we do. The smallest deed that we've done, the unnoticed service that we've given, the insignificant work, and He will reward us accordingly. I was talking recently to our brother Bill Woods, and it was with the shoeboxes in mind that he told me the story of how many years ago, when he was on the mission field, he came across a family where the oldest boy in the home, and he was but a boy, had been sent out to work in a quarry cutting stones. He did that simply to buy jotters and pencils so that his younger brothers could go to school and receive some kind of an education. When her brother Bill met that family, it was very sad circumstances, because the boy who had gone to work in the quarry had been killed at work. And the parents said, "We cannot send our children now to school." So Bill said, "Well, I'll pay for the jotters and the pencils." It was a little work that he was going to do, maybe a textbook. And he did that for 4 years. And then he lost contact with the family. He had moved on. Many years later, he was back visiting in the city of Manaus in a leprosy hospital. And he met a doctor there who said, "My brother-in-law wants to meet you." And so his brother-in-law came to the hospital and met her brother Bill and said to him, "I always wanted to meet the man who had paid for the jotters and for the pencils so that I could go to school." That man had become a businessman in the city of Manaus. I think his brother had become a doctor. Another member of the family circle had become or was training to be a lawyer. All because there was a missionary one day who took a family upon his heart and just paid for those little things. The little things that we do unto the Lord, unto the Lord's name, will not go unnoticed by Him. God has seen the work that we've done. He has seen the work that has been to the fore. In the public eye, before our fellows, like our public preaching, like our public prayer meetings, our participation in other ways. He's seen it all. But He's also seen the little things that have been done behind the scenes. A word fitly spoken in the gospel. Nobody else knew about that word but you and the person you spoke it to. A prayer silently offered. No one else but God knew about that prayer. A deed of kindness that was shown. An offering given. A loaf of sandwiches made for you, dear lady one, friends today that help us out so often with the teas in the church. A cup of cold water even, Jesus speaks about, that is given in His name. A shoebox that was made up. A phone call or a letter or an email sent to someone that's discouraged, or maybe a missionary that needs to be encouraged in the mission field. A floor that is brushed, a wall that is painted, the smallest, the most minutest, tiniest thing that is done. Nothing has escaped our Boaz. I want you to know that. Jesus knows all about the work that we have done. The widow's mite was not overlooked by our blessed Savior, but it glittered in His eyes with a brighter gleam than all the gold of the rich. Sweet was the spikenard from Mary's alabaster box, for He knew her heart, and He saw her motive, and He told them, "She hath wrought a good work on me." The smallest act done for His glory will not be overlooked. Listen, there is a reward, and it's from the hand of our God. The Bible says, "God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." Dear mother, in your home life, seeking to raise your offspring in the fear and admonition of God, seeking to point your children to Christ, God has seen the work that you have done in your home. Dear wife, in your faithful endeavors to live right before your unconverted husband and to speak a word when you could in the gospel, God has taken note of that work that has been done. Dear Sabbath school teacher, as you gather those precious little ones around your feet in the Lord's day, and you open up the Bible and you teach them the good things of God, God has seen every class that you have taught. The Lord recompense thy work. A full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. And from his tender, gracious hand, we will receive a reward when we stand before him, and we shall hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." With our unfailing master looking on, however small the service might be, if it is done to him and in obedience to him, it is truly accepted, and we shall be recompensed abundantly. Now this should cheer us on in the Christian life, even when times are tough. This should lift our hands that hang down and should strengthen our feeble knees. Despite any persecution that might come our way, despite any opposition that we have to encounter, despite any discouragements, and there are discouragements in the work of God, he is looking on, and with radiant smile of approval, he is saying, "It hath been fully showed me. A full reward be given thee." No matter how dark the way has become, no matter how clouds gather, or how deep the valley seems to be, I think I hear him say today, "It hath been fully showed me. A full reward be given thee." And on that great day, our Boaz will give us a reward when we stand at his majestic throne. Let me just finish by saying that there are the subjects of the reward. Who receives the reward? Well, the reward is for the faithful. Boaz says, "Under whose wings thou art come to trust." Ruth had come to trust in the Lord. She had come to put her faith and her confidence in God. Trust him as Lord and trust him as Savior. And to Ruth, this reward was going to be given. May God help us, those of us who have come to trust in him for salvation, to be faithful in our work too. Be thou faithful unto death, and our God shall give you a crown of life. Oh, I trust that we will receive that reward on that day. "It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust."